Session number 12678, Mr. Ernest Jones, Reel 7.
Mr. Jones, Reel 7, you were telling me about the pea soup that was brought up at 12 o'clock at night. What was it like?
Well, it was... mind you, I think it would have been nice had it been warm. But with it being cold, with having been brought from the cookhouse, you see, and carried along the trench, you see, the communication trench, and distributed, well, it was cold. And but it was hot when you drank it because there was so much pepper in it.
So that was at 12 o'clock.
What that was about 12 o'clock at night, yes.
And that was brought up in Dixies, was it?
Pardon?
How did they carry the hot soup up? In Dixies?
Oh, yes, in Dixies, yes. You were given some in your mess tin. We had mess tins then, you know, with a deep one and another one. Shallow one. The shallow one was used as a lid for the deep one. And more or less the shallow one, or you had your bacon in the morning, you see, or your breakfast. If
so that was the next meal, breakfast. What would you get for breakfast then?
Oh, you might possibly get some bacon.
Would that be hot?
Well, not exactly. It had got too far to come. That was all the trouble with these things. You see, and... even the tea, when it was brought down, you see. Well, by the time you did, it had been issued out, you know, and that. If you were there near the place where it came to, you'd have it warmer than if you were a bit farther away. So that, I mean, it's just according where you were from the distribution point, whether you had it warm or cold.
So bacon was... You get bacon for breakfast. Anything else for breakfast?
I can't remember much else, anyhow. Only some bread. We never had butter.
But
I mean, it was no good having butter there in that hot climate. You would never do anything with it. We had bread and jam.
What was the jam like?
We used to call it poddy. Because it was a plum and apple in tins, Tommy Tickler's. Sometimes we had marmalade, and Tommy Tickler's marmalade, and it was in tins, you see, and there'd be a tin between so many men, you see, and so you'd have to share out, you see, two or three of you get together and share it out in the, for your on your bread.
So bacon, bread and jam and tea.
That's right, yes.
It was breakfast.
Yes.
What about lunch? What did you get?
Oh, yes, no. Then they'd bring up the Dixie with the stew in it, mutton stew. And there'd be the... it all depends where you were. You see, how you get these things warm or chilled. And if you were at more or less towards the end of the line, there'd be lumps of fat floating on top of the stew. You see, whereas if you were at the beginning of the line, you wouldn't notice this thing. It'd be warm and that. You see, and that's how they could manage it otherwise, I don't know.
So that was just a stew for lunch.
Yes, and it was mutton stew. Always mutton stew.
What about for tea?
Hmm?
What about in the afternoon tea?
I don't know if we had anything to drink after dinner. Only water. You got your water.
But what about at tea time? Would you get another?
Of course. Now you'd got your bread and jam. And and they brought on the tea. You see.
So that was a day's food. Would you get much tinned rations? Doesn't sound like you
did. Oh, no, we... You know, I'd heard of these people that were in Salonika talking about McConaughey's and all that. But I never saw a tin of McConaughey, and I asked what they were. Oh, it's a complete dinner in a tin. Well, we never saw anything like that.
Did you get?
They had them at the base.
Did you get much bully beef?
Oh, bully beef. It was always plenty of bully beef.
When would you eat? Because, I mean, if you always got mutton stew, when would you get the bully? Do you see what I mean?
Well, you'd have it if you'd, with your rations, a tin of bully, you see, with your rations in the morning. You see, they'd come round with the rations, you see, and it according to what rations had come up, then the quartermaster would deal it out to the different platoons, you see, and the platoon commander would dish it out, and if there was plenty of bread, you see, you'd have half a loaf each, perhaps, and that was a good ration, half a loaf for the day. And if there was nothing much come up, you'd only have one slice, perhaps, and a couple of biscuits. And
now, there was sometimes a problem with the rations, weren't there?
Because the rations were a terrible problem.
Tell me, what was the cause of it, you thought?
The cause was they always come up every night at round about 12 o'clock. Our transport, our mule transport, went down to meet the ASC, bringing it up so far. Then our own transport went down to meet them and got the rations for the company or battalion, you see, and had to bring it up through the ravines, you see, to where we were. Now, the trouble was the Germans and Bulgarians knew exactly which ravine they were coming up, what time they come, because it was always the same, more or less, and they'd put a barrage on the ravine. Sometimes they'd catch them right with the barrage and they'd blow them to pieces. Other times they'd perhaps, the barrage would be here this side bringing them, they couldn't come through, or it was the other side and they'd miss them. It was all chance work. But why they couldn't alter that times to come in at 11 o'clock one time and at 1 o'clock or another beats me. But that was how it was worked in the First World War.
So when they didn't get through, would you eat rations?
Well, it was a case of, there's no rations today, you'll have to eat your iron rations. Because we always had our iron rations. They were always filled up, you see.
Did you get many biscuits, army biscuits?
Oh, yes, with our iron rations. But only when if you were short of bread.
So they were...
They were made up. You see, one slice of bread and two biscuits would be a day's bread ration. You see? And so it went on. It just according... How much rations had come up.
Were there any other sorts of rations you got? Any other food you'd get in the front that you can think of? Would you ever get cheese?
Oh, no, we never got cheese.
Not even the tin?
No. We had no tin stuff, only jam and marmalade and tin bully beef. And then that was it. In France, they were having all these things. Now, we had the 60th Division come from France to Salonika. We were relieved by the 12th Kensingtons, as a London battalion, London division. And talking to those chaps, they thought we were at the end of the world. Oh, they didn't like this at all. Oh, good Lord, let's get back to France. We don't want the place like this. Good Lord, you got nothing. He hadn't got enough to eat, for one thing, he says. And he says, you come on rest. He says, where do you see? You don't see anybody. You can't spend any money. In fact, you get no money here. He says,
They got nothing. Oh, they were the, it was a, oh, the old, old division complained. And they complained that much that they banded them and sent them over to Egypt. Now, that was where we were at a loss to them in France. He said, the chaps were telling us, he says, well, let me come out of the line in France. And I know, he said, it's a bit rough, for, perhaps when you're having it here, but he said, when we do come out, he says, we come back into a village, he says, there's plenty of girls there, there's plenty of beer, he says, we get good pay, he said, and we can spend our money, he said, and he said, but we, you poor chaps, he said, you come back about 2 miles, he said, and you see nobody, all you do is you see your pals, and back in you go again. He says, there's no life here. He said, we kind of live. So, you see, we were at a very big disadvantage. We didn't have the amount of, as you might say, fighting or shelling, you see, but of course we had it rough at times.
Right. I better, now, looking at the other, so would you ever get, you didn't smoke, I presume? Was there a cigarette ration ever?
Oh, yes, sometimes when the ration come up, there was cigarette ration. Now, I didn't smoke.
What did you do?
And I used to give them to my pal. But anyhow, it was, it come that they said something, I think it was the sergeant was talking to us, and he said, you chaps don't smoke, he said, you want to smoke, he said. Get the stench of the dead out of your lungs, he says. And he said, it'll do you good, he says. And he says, and you chaps don't take your rum ration. He says, we don't give it you to get drunk. We give it you as a medicine. Because I give mine to my pal, you see.
Your rum as well?
Oh, yes.
And did you take his advice?
After I come back from hospital. And I'd had my feet bad, and I went down to hospital, but of course...
I'll go. But did you start drinking your rum?
I started drinking my rum, yes. And I started having a cigarette. And we used to have a packet of...
Trumpeter.
There used to be a trumpeter.
Did you enjoy smoking?
I don't know. I never inhaled in my life. Never inhaled smoke. Even when they used to tell me in the army that I didn't know what smoking was, I'd never tasted them. But I never inhaled.
Just into your mouth then, the smoke, and then out. You didn't...
That's right, yeah. Yes, it was a case of just smoking. I suppose I enjoyed it to a certain extent. You know, but... It wasn't just something everybody else did, so that was it.
What about your water ration? How did that come
up? Oh, now then. You see, our water had to be brought up to us on a panniers each side of mule.
There was no local water?
There was no local water, no. And then it was tipped into a galvanized tank. You see, now this is when we were on rest, you see, proper camping, see. And then they just stepped into this tank, and the doctor would come and put in a dose of chlorodilime and kill all bacteria, and it had to be left for so long. Then we were allowed to have one bottle a day. And I've known chaps not have any water to shave in. They'd shave in a drop of tears they'd got left.
So that water was all the water you got for washing, shaving and everything?
Yes, well, more or less, although not for washing. Not that they used to bring out, we had canvas buckets, like stiff canvas buckets. And they used to bring out a bucket of water, you see, for the platoon or anything of that, you see. And if you were first, you were all right, you were that. But, you know, I've been that, I've had it that thick until it was like it'd stick on your face with so many washing it. It was terrible.
But you were meant to shave from your water.
I didn't shave. I wasn't old enough. I didn't grow a beard at all. So I didn't shave at all. I was one of the lucky ones in that respect.
What was it like to drink? What did it taste like? Lime?
Terrible.
In what way?
Well, they colored the lime in it, you know. Give it a funny taste. And, well, that was it. We could have drunk two or three times more water than what we had.
So you were quite frequently thirsty then?
Yes. Yes.
And the rest of your water would come as a tea ration?
That's right, yes. Yes. The only water that you got really for your own use was a bottleful. You see, your water bottleful. You see, that was for a drink when you wanted one.
Now, you'd be able to wash. Would that washing arrangement be once a day, they'd bring the bucket?
Pardon?
The bucket of water for washing, would that be once a day?
Yes, yes.
Would you ever get the chance to get a bath at all?
Oh, now then, now. Now, when we were on rest, we'd come perhaps 2 miles back, you see, and we'd come into a place where it was sheltered round the hill or in a deep ravine or something of that. Well, now then we'd have the notification, there'll be a bath unit up tomorrow. See, in such a ravine. All these ravines have got names. And then you'd be told such a platoon would be able to have their bath at such a time. See, so of course, 16th platoon was to go. Well, we'd start off marching down, you see, with a corporal, and we'd have to go for about a mile, perhaps, or more than that, and we'd go into a deep ravine. And in that deep ravine was a marquee, because they were ravines. I mean, they were digging cliffs either side, you know, and there'd be a marquee. And in this marquee would be about 8 aft tubs. You know what a tub is, a sawn through the middle. There's about 8 aft tubs. And you'd allotted in your tub, and you'd have to get undressed and put your clothes in a heap there, and they'd come and bring you one bucket of hot water and one bucket of cold, you see, and you'd put it in your tub, and then you'd get your wash, you get your bath. And while you were doing that, they'd come and collect your clothes up and take them out into a fumigator. And when you'd finished your bath, then these clothes would be brought back, and they were in a terrible mess. Oh, they were felt damp and creased all over, like they'd been all jumbled into this here fumigator. And they were creased all over and terrible to wear. And that was to kill the lice, because we were always very lousy.
I was going to say, were lice a big problem for
you? Oh, yes, they were. Yes. Oh, you see, when we were in the line, you couldn't take your clothes off. You see, you couldn't get undressed at all. And part of the time in the winter, well, it was no good taking your clothes off. You'd never get them. If you washed anything, you'd never get it dry. There was no place to dry it. So you just kept them on.
And how were the lice? You had a lot of lice.
Oh, they used to get all in the seams, and you'd be, you know,
itching.
Aye. And when they were fumigated, they'd kill the lice, but the nits in the seams,
eggs.
Well, after you'd had them on a couple of days, they'd all come to life. And there you were, lousy again.
Were there any ways you tried to kill the lice?
We tried. I remember a chap took off his shirt and put it by the anthill. An ant come and clear and cut it off the lice. Oh, there were various methods they used to try.
Did you try any of them?
I don't think so. I was a bit of a greenhorn, you know.
So you didn't do much about your own lice?
No, not really, no. No, it was no good. You were as bad off after if you'd done it. You'd only a couple of 3 days and you'd be as bad as ever again. No, it was a lousy place and you... well, it's just...
What were the latrines like in the line?
Oh, they were more a trench, you see, and a piece of wood across, and you'd sit on this wood, you see, and drop into the trench.
And
then, of course, that would be closed all in, you see, and then another trench would be dug with me.
Was latrine discipline strictly enforced? I mean, did you had to go to the latrine?
Oh, no. No, of course. I mean, there was what did you call them? Sanitary men in the battalion, you see. They used to do that kind of thing.
No, I mean, but would you were supposed to use the latrines? You weren't allowed to just
go anywhere. You weren't allowed to go and do it anywhere in there. No. Oh, no, we didn't. You'd got to go to the latrine. No, it wasn't allowed for you to go anywhere.
What did you do with the rubbish of trench life? You know, things like the tin cans, just the rubbish.
Well, of course, the tins were collected up and all dug and buried. Most of the stuff was, not wanted, was buried.
So they kept the trenches clean?
Oh, yes, fairly well, yes. Yes. Oh, what yes, they weren't too bad in that respect.
What about some of the nuisances of life? I mean, would they have problems with rats or mice or any other insects?
We didn't have such problem like that. But we had a terrible lot of insects.
What types?
Oh, I don't know. There were scorpions. There was...
Did you have to be careful with scorpions? Because they're...
Yes. And there was... snakes. Sometimes you have some snakes, and there was some creepy crawlers. I don't know what those are. There were so many.
With the scorpions different. And the snakes, how would you take precautions? I mean, or would you bother?
Oh, you always take your blankets before you got into bed or anything of that. And
did anybody get bitten?
Not as I know of. I think everybody was pretty careful. They weren't that plentiful. You know, it was only occasionally. And I'll tell you what there was a lot of. Tortoises. Oh, there's a tremendous lot of tortoises about. And chaps used to have them and they'd start races with them.
How did they organise that?
Oh, anything to pass the time away, you know. And then, of course, they used to have ousie-ousie, you know. And
That's bingo, isn't
that's
it?
That's bingo now, isn't it? Ousie-ousie.
Did you play bingo? Or?
I never played it. I never had the money. But you had to put, I think it was threepence down. And then of course, if you won, you see, you had so much back, you see, and but I never had the money to put down.
Now, what about if we could have a look at just what the fighting was like? Not the big attacks and things like that, but just the day to day. Was there much artillery fire on that?
Oh,
section?
Yes, yes. And in the majority of cases, it was high explosives. Because, I mean, the terrain was such that there was... shrapnel was all right on where it had spread, but an high explosive shell would do almost as much damage as a shrapnel shell, because if he struck from rock, the rock would fly, you know. I mean, many a one has got a leg and arm off with the rock.
Was there actually much fire? I mean, did
we never had much rifle fire.
No, but I mean the artillery. Was there much?
More artillery. More shelling than anything.
I mean, would there be many shells a day or in your area?
They seem to come in salvos. You know, like if they happen to see anything moving, that would draw it. You see? And then, of course, there'd be... ever so many guns would be firing, you see, and there'd be the high explosive shells and all that and that. And, well, sometimes they'd do a lot of damage, and other times they'd just do nothing.
Could you, I mean, what were you like the first time you came under shell fire? I mean, it's very frightening to a lot of people.
Yes, I was rather frightened because... the first shell fire I came on was when I was I'd been in the trench, and the communication trench. No, this was it. I'm getting wrong. I was sent out in the daylight by officer in charge to. Tell the Royal Engineers that the trenches were ready for revetting. You see, they put the wire netting across the top of the trench to keep it up. And
down the sides of the trench.
Yes. So I was sent down to them. Well, I was told which way to go and all that, but I'd got to go across the open. I had to go and travel across a fair distance to open ground. But with one man, I suppose they didn't think that there would be any much notice taking that. But I hadn't gone far before they did. And I had a few high explosive shells around me. And I'd got my spade. I had a spade on my back with the... you separate down the back of your equipment with the spade, like up the back. I was wishing I could crawl right under that spade, and as the shells come nearer, I could feel myself being lifted off the ground, you know. But I wasn't struck with anything. You see, with an high explosive shell, it goes in and poosh, you see. Now with the shrapnel shells, it comes so far and explodes
and it goes down.
Yes. So there's really, unless I got more or less a direct hit, you see, I was fairly safe. But, of course, I mean, you never know when that direct hit might come. That was the only trouble. And anyhow, they eased off a bit, and I made a run for it. And I knew I'd got to go to a trench where the Royal Engineers were in. And I made a run for it, and they started shelling again, and I took a dive right into the trench where a couple of three of the Royal Engineers were, and they cussed me up and down, drawing the fire on them. What the devil, they're coming over there in the daylight for? And I said, well, I was sent. I said, I was told which way to come, and that's the way I've come. Well, you can't go back that way, that's a certain fact. You have to stay with them. And then when it come to towards evening, they said, I think you can get back now, but don't go. Don't go across the open. Take this ravine here And when you get to such a point, he said, turn left. And then it was a bit of a maze of ravines and one thing. And I thought I'd taken the wrong turn in, and it was getting dark. And I didn't know which way to go. And so I turned into one ravine, and I was going along, and I heard some talking, and I couldn't listen. I listened, but I couldn't tell what it was. And I thought, oh goodness, I hadn't walked into a vulgar camp.